Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time you are tuned into this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. It is Wednesday, November 1, 2018. And we've got a great hour of sports talk coming right your way. You know, throughout this week, we have been primarily focused on Michigan State football. Many of you have been calling in to get those just really dismal thoughts just off your mind, really treating Current Sports as a therapy session after Michigan State lost to Ohio State on Saturday. Totally get it. But today I want to flip the script a bit, and we're going to talk some Michigan State men's basketball. Fitting because, as we all know by now, Michigan State is coming off a season win over Florida Gulf Coast on Sunday night. That was win number one, actually, on the regular season form, because they fell, of course, to Kansas in the Champions Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. To start the year, they get a win over Florida Gulf Coast, and tonight they will take on Louisiana Monroe. So I want to finally get to my takeaways when it comes to that Spartan win on Sunday evening against Florida Gulf Coast. I also want to get to Tom Izzo's rant and a few takeaways from that rant that he had in the post-game press conference, in which basically he criticizes how the game is being called today in the college ranks, how it's catered to the offensive player. How do you, as a defender in college hoops now, how do you play defense? So we'll talk about what Izzo had to say there. That was a pretty epic rant that went viral. I know the Big Ten Network, they've played it a lot since Sunday night. Also, we've got to bring and pass to you all some news. Two stories concerning off the court and off the field drama with Michigan State sports, okay? You probably saw this news with Curtis Blackwell, who is a former Michigan State University football staffer who is now suing a few big names formerly with this university. All right, we'll bring you that news, and I'll have brief thoughts and takeaways on that. We will also have live here on the show around 1:30 the first-year head coach of the Lansing area's minor league soccer team, new minor league soccer team. We all know about Lansing United, right? Well, that program has now since been dissolved, and Lansing, when it comes to professional soccer, is upping its game with Lansing Ignite. Nate Miller, a very familiar name with, of course, minor league soccer here in the area. Nate Miller will be the first-year head coach of Lansing Ignite. He was announced this morning during a press conference at Cooley Law School Stadium, and he will join me live here on the airwaves to talk about his promotion, if you will. And then on the back end of the show, got to get this stuff off my chest concerning Draymond Green, former MSU hoop great who served a suspension this week with the Golden State Warriors, and also former Michigan State running back great Le'Veon Bell not reporting to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, forfeiting that $4.5 or $6 million that he was owed if he accepted the franchise tender. So, as you see, a lot to get to, a lot that we are going to try and get to throughout these 60 minutes. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also check out the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that video, and you can tweet the show. Tweet us at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I want to start here when it comes to this whole Curtis Blackwell story and Michigan State football. Curtis Blackwell, you know, his title, not officially, was recruiting coordinator for Michigan State football. And, you know, he's got a long title. I won't even announce the long title that he had. But basically, Curtis Blackwell was brought in as the Michigan State football recruiting coordinator. And he is now suing former Michigan State president Luana K. Simon, head football coach Mark D'Antonio, also former athletic director Mark Hollis, and two MSU police detectives, alleging that his rights were violated when he was accused of covering up sexual assault allegations against three now former MSU football players. Now, in a lawsuit filed on Monday in U.S. District Court out in Grand Rapids, Blackwell says MSU officials, quote, feeling the heat from the Larry Nassar cover-up and eager to prove they were tough on cover-ups, ran roughshod over his rights when he was wrongly accused of covering up for MSU athletes involved in an alleged sexual assault of a female co-ed in 2017. I also want to let you guys know that we did reach out to Michigan State University, and we got back, Emily Guerin got back with us from MSU and said that the university cannot make any comment at this time. MSU has not yet been served the lawsuit. So also, I reached out to Curtis Blackwell. Maybe at some point we do get him on. Again, I'm not trying to get him in trouble with his lawyer. I know there are a lot of legal implications here, so he has to be careful of when he can speak. But reached out to Curtis Blackwell, have not gotten anything yet. But if we do get the chance to book him on Current Sports, of course, you will all know it beforehand. So more thoughts on that later on this hour. Also, a lawsuit claiming three former Michigan State men's basketball players raped a woman in 2015. That will now move forward after a federal judge ruled against the school. U.S. District Court Judge Paul Maloney, he denied a motion from Michigan State to dismiss the lawsuit this morning, a day after a hearing on the motion was held in Kalamazoo. The unnamed woman filed the lawsuit against the school in April, claiming the three players raped her in an off-campus apartment in April of 2015. She also claimed that the school's counseling office coerced her into not reporting the incident to police. The lawsuit alleges Michigan State violated Title IX by placing the students at risk of sexual assault with its policies and by failing to properly respond to the allegation. Now, it seeks an unspecified amount of damages and for Michigan State to take further steps to prevent sexual assault. So, two stories that if you are a Michigan State athletics fan or an alum of this university, two troubling stories without a doubt. Now to less important matters. the college football playoff rankings. We have two of our fantastic production assistants and reporters. We've got Trevor Toslowski in the house, as well as Adam Mackey. And Trevor, what happened last night when it comes to the latest revelations in the college football playoff order?
The college football playoff committee's top four remain the same, as well as the entire top 10. First time since the college football playoff was incepted that the top 10 did not change at all in a single week. So that obviously means Michigan will stay at number four. The Wolverines, whose only losses to current number three Notre Dame, kept their spot in the top four this week after an easy win at Rutgers on Saturday. The Wolverines wrap up their home slate this week versus Indiana before the game in 2 weeks against Ohio State at the Horseshoe.
That's going to be huge. That's the game that will decide who, of course, will represent the Big Ten East against the Big Ten West contender in Northwestern. Also, we've got Adam Mackey in the house, as I just mentioned, and Michigan State men's basketball will be in action tonight, as I mentioned also at the top of the hour. Who will they play, Adam?
Yes, sir. Michigan State men's basketball team plays second of a three-game homestand on Wednesday, November 14th. That's tonight. Hosting the University of Louisiana at Monroe at the Breslin Center. Tip-off is slated for 7 p.m. The game will air live on BTN+. As you mentioned earlier, the Spartans, who are ranked number 11 in the latest AP poll, improved to 1-1 this season with a 106-82 win over Florida Gulf Coast on Sunday night.
Yes, pretty good win. But again, Tom Izzo was not happy. He's never happy around this time of the year, though. He's so uber critical of his program because he knows that the expectations are pretty high right now for his team. So I have thoughts on that, on the Florida Gulf Coast win, as well as a brief preview of the game tonight against Louisiana Monroe. Also, the University of Michigan men's basketball team is in action tonight. They will hit the road and enter the hostile environment that is Finneran Pavilion in Braun-Mauer, Pennsylvania. The 18th-ranked Wolverines will match up against the 8th-ranked Villanova Wildcats. It is somewhat rare for Nova to play a game of this magnitude on campus, as they usually head to Philly and play those games at Wells Fargo Center. So tip time for tonight, set for 6:30 p.m., and this is a rematch of course, the national championship game that Michigan ended up losing this past year. So, also, MSU women's volleyball, Kathy George and company in action tonight as well, Adam.
Yep, Michigan State has a split week of action, playing at Rutgers tonight. That game is at 7 p.m. Before returning home for their annual Jam Genesis event on Saturday, when the Spartans host number 19 Michigan, which is also at 7 p.m. Spartans split last week's action, defeating Ohio State on Wednesday 3-1, before falling to Iowa on Saturday 3-1 as well. Big Ten season has been a grind for the young Spartans, who have shown significant growth over the course of a gauntlet of top 25 opponents. MSU's starting lineup features one senior, two sophomores, and four freshmen.
There you have that. Also want to pass this news along to you all if you're just now tuning in. And this man will also be joining us in just a moment here on WKAR's Current Sports. But Lansing Ignite has named Nate Miller as its inaugural head coach. How about that? Nate Miller, who has coached the Lansing United men's soccer team the past 3 years, was named Ignite's first head coach as the team begins its first season in the USL League One in the spring of next year. Of course, Miller is pretty close with GM Jeremy Sampson. Sampson now turning to this familiar face in Nate Miller. Nate Miller joining us in just a moment. Also, the Detroit Red Wings are on a roll right now. Trevor, tell us more.
After going winless to their first seven games of the season, the Detroit Red Wings have won seven of their last eight games. Their latest victory came last night at Little Caesars Arena, where a first period cushion of three goals gave way to a 6-1 rout of the Arizona Coyotes. The Wings scored early and often to improve to 8 wins, 8 losses, 2 overtime losses after starting 1-7-2. It was their fourth straight victory and part of an 8-game stretch that has seen them score 32 goals after collecting just 21 through their first 10 games. It even included a 1 minute 19 seconds of 5-on-3 that the Wings were down that they killed. 13 Wings collected at least a point, and Mike Green paced the team with a goal and 2 assists as the Wings delivered their most decisive victory of the season.
Jack, you changing things behind the glass, man? I don't know. You got called out by a few of our listeners yesterday, and they're like, Jack, hey, you're wrong about this team. They're going to get back on track, and another win. You still feeling some type of way?
You know what? I was kind of thinking about it last night. I was at work watching, you know, on my phone, you know, just seeing goal after goal. I guess I have to embrace it at this point in time. You know, the young kids are carrying the team. I'll be in his house a week from today, actually, Little Caesars Arena, to see the Wings take on the Bruins, and I am excited for it. Mm. So, you know what, for now, I just have to embrace the win streak, I think. At the end of the day, you know, I don't think they're a playoff team, and they'll probably wind up selling assets at the deadline and fall back to where I think, you know, I'd want them to be. But at this point in time, no, you know what, I'll stop being negative about the winning streak. I'm just going to embrace it.
Wow. That never happens with you, Jack. I'm surprised.
No, there are some exciting young players. Dennis Chalowski had a great game last night, had a goal as well, so, you know.
Wow. All right, shout out to the Red Wings.
Take it day by day. Yeah,
take it day by day. Shout out to the Red Wings, changing your perception about the program a little bit.
Well, they're still not a playoff team, I'll tell you that.
Watch them go on like a 15-game losing streak now.
Yeah, yeah. Which, all, you know what, I'll still accentuate the positives if that happens. You know, I'll be all right. Because then we'll be right back in the driver's seat for the first overall pick.
And I know that's what you really
spin
really
zone.
Want.
You gotta,
yeah, yeah.
Gotta lose for Hughes.
Right, that's the guy, right?
Yep,
I keep hearing
Jack
that.
Hughes
Jack Hughes. Michigan. Jack Hughes. All right. Okay, I also want to pass this news along because we debated this rumor a while ago, but it's now confirmed. No, Dan Gilbert is not trying to buy the Detroit Tigers. He told the Detroit Free Press that he is selling Greektown Casino, but that does not mean he's trying to buy the Tigers. In an interview with the Freep, he spoke with John Gallagher, actually, yesterday. Gilbert said there is no such deal in the works to try and purchase the baseball organization. The Tigers were bought by Mike Ilitch in 1992 for $82 million and bequeathed to his son, Chris, after Mike's death in 2017. Forbes magazine values the Tigers at $1.225 billion. Rumors swirled around in September that Gilbert was interested in buying the team. The founder of Quicken Loans, worth several billion dollars, also owns the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers. When the reports seemed to hit a fever pitch, the Free Press couldn't confirm firsthand knowledge of talks between Gilbert and Ilitch. And tonight, you can catch the Detroit Pistons in action on the road, taking on one of the NBA's best teams in the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Raptors in Toronto. 7:30 p.m. tip time there. And Draymond Green, who botched the final possession of regulation against the L.A. Clippers on Monday night. Then there was an altercation between Green and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant yelled at Green on the sideline. Green yelled back. One or both did some more yelling in the locker room, and Green got suspended one game for conduct detrimental to the Warriors. That game being played against the Hawks last night, Atlanta. Quote, we just felt like this rose to the level of acting the way that we did. This is coming from Warriors general manager Bob Myers at a news conference before last night's game in Oakland. He went on to say, quote, that's a decision that we have to make. I'm certainly involved in it. So is Steve Kerr, the Warriors head coach. This was something that required the action that we decided upon. So things basically went way too far when it comes to KD and Draymond going back and forth. And, you know, looking on Twitter about this incident, you know, a few reporters are saying that Draymond Green, you know, brought up Kevin Durant's contract with the Warriors and whether or not he's going to re-sign. And then during the press conference, I mean, during the press conference, you could clearly just see that KD was pretty angry about the situation. And these are two guys that we thought were pretty close. So, you know, maybe this rallies the team together. Maybe this causes more drama that lingers throughout the rest of the year. We have no idea. But with all of that being said, the Golden State Warriors are still the best team in the league. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
right, ladies and gents, boys and girls, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. It is Wednesday, November 1, 4, 2018. It's a pretty nice fall day here in mid-Michigan. Not a lot of snow. The sun is out. That's the main thing around this time of the year. You know, we all know it's going to snow. It's Michigan. But when it's cloudy, it just gets depressing, doesn't it? I mean, when it's just cloudy every single day, you know, gloom and doom, when the sun is peeking out, I can bear the cold a little bit. All right. So the sun is out. Birds are chirping. Let's get to some current sports discussion. And if you would like to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. Also, check out the show on our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You can also tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I want to start by talking about some Michigan State men's basketball because we have not gotten the chance to elaborate on where Tom Izzo's team is right now, coming off a now second game win over Florida Gulf Coast on Sunday evening at the Breslin Center. Of course, they fell in the season opener on the road at Bankers Life Fieldhouse at the hands of the Kansas Jayhawks, then the number one team in the nation. I think we all can agree now that you look at how things slated out for the latest AP rankings and Duke being numero uno, we can all agree with that, right? I think it was clear when watching the Champions Classic and watching that game to Kentucky and Duke, and you saw Zion Williamson, you saw Cam Reddish, you saw R.J. Barrett finally on the court together. I mean, this Duke basketball team, if they don't win the national championship, that's on Coach K. I mean, that's all the talent in the world right there. First time that you see a program snagging the top 1, 2, and 3 recruits in the nation, quite amazing. It really is. So I think we all agree that Duke is numero uno in the nation. But again, at the Champions Classic, Michigan State went against Kansas, the previous number one team, pushed them to the brink, and now you have a lot of layups. You know, you're having a lot of opportunities. Tom Izzo has a lot of opportunities now to figure some things out against some competition that is not the greatest. It started on Sunday night against Florida Gulf Coast. Now, I'm not trying to bash Florida Gulf Coast. I think that team has a lot of talent on it. And to start, I mean, Florida Gulf Coast got out to an early lead, actually. They've got some talent at the guard position, and they made things difficult for the guards to start out. Michigan State came out a bit flat. But at the end of the day, the cream always rises to the top, and Michigan State being the more talented team and the deeper team eventually won that game 106-82. And again, we'll take on Louisiana Monroe tonight. That will be a 7 p.m. tip time. And then they will actually head out to Las Vegas for next week for a Thanksgiving slate out in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Invitational, taking on Tennessee Tech, also against UCLA. That will be a game that we will not get the chance to see. I believe it's Sharif O'Neal, right? Is that Shaq's son's name?
That's correct, yeah.
Sharif O'Neal, he's not going to be playing in that game because really scary stuff. And, you know, you see a story like this, Jack, and it certainly could have been worse, right? The doctors, I guess, caught it early. They caught this condition early. He's got some kind of a heart problem that, you know, it's pretty serious. Anytime you talk about the heart, it's pretty serious, so much so that Sharif will be sitting out this entire year at UCLA. So we won't see him in action. A bit bittersweet. I was really looking forward to seeing Michigan State take on Sharif O'Neal, but it's for the best, right?
No, absolutely. And you know who else we won't see for UCLA? We will not see LiAngelo Ball, obviously, because led the league in traveling violations last season before he even stepped on a basketball court.
That is very true. You know, I tell you what, though. You know, you have not heard from in a long, long time, Pops.
Oh, I love it. They're over in Lithuania. They should just, I mean, I don't have to hear it. I don't have to hear from him every day and about how he's better than Michael Jordan. For all I care, he can be the king of Lithuania as long as he's not over here and I don't have to hear about him. I think that's, like, perfect.
But we all know what happened, right? Once LeBron James got, you know, once he signed with L.A., I'm sure. I am. You know the whole story about Magic Johnson driving up to LeBron's mansion and waiting outside when, you know, when LeBron would open talks for teams and Magic was the first one he met with, and they had this hour, you know, hour upon hour conversation about the Lakers and where they're headed. I am sure LeBron James said, "Hey, Magic, if I do this, LaVar Ball has got to be out the picture. I can't have him causing some kind of sideshow when I'm out there trying to put together a championship contender." I am sure that conversation happened. When LeBron speaks, things move, and I think that's why we haven't heard from Mr. LaVar Ball in quite some time, all right? I'm just saying.
No, you're absolutely right, and I think the other thing is I've kind of waited to see if we hear anything from LaVar Ball, see if he calls out any of the Lakers, and to me, if he does, I just think Lonzo will get traded the next day.
Yeah.
He'll be out of town.
Right, exactly. I totally agree with you, and I think, you know, you look at like at Lonzo's game, he's been playing pretty decent with the Lakers so far this year. And LeBron, of course, he pulled some strings and got Tyson Chandler over there. This team is still a long way from being a legit title contender in the NBA. But, yeah, I totally hear you. But, yeah, so Michigan State, going back to my original point, they will take one a UCLA team that is pretty solid next week, Tennessee Tech as well, at the Las Vegas Invitational. And they will take on either North Carolina or Texas to close out that three-game stretch of basketball. That should be fun to watch. But, you know, what I'm seeing right now from Michigan State, for those that were able to tune in on the Big Ten Network against Florida Gulf Coast, I mean, I first off want to give a big shout-out to Josh Langford, who has now shown that when he is aggressive, when he is in tune from the jump, Josh Langford is one of the key pieces to this team. He really is. And you know, for the first time, I think, ever in Josh's career, we have seen Josh, from the very start all the way to the end of a basketball game, attack. Attack, attack, attack. I mean, Josh Langford, he actually took the most shots on the Spartans basketball team on Sunday. He took 15 shots. He was 7 of 15, 18 points, 10 rebounds. And riddle me this, actually, that's the first double-double in the career of Josh Langford here at Michigan State. Did not know that stat until afterwards. Josh Langford being aggressive, that's what they need. Also, Nick Ward was a man amongst a lot of boys against Florida Gulf Coast on Sunday. They did not have an answer at all for Nick Ward. He got great positioning time after time after time. 25 points. He had 10 boards as well. 7 of 11 from the floor. Just a great overall performance from him. He was great defensively, I thought, as well. I mean, Nick Ward was fantastic. And you're seeing why Nick Ward came back. He's worked on some things. He's worked on his body. His body looks great. And I think he's taken the advice that he did get when he did dip his toe into the NBA draft realm and got that feedback. He's taken that feedback and really worked on his game. Nick Ward is going to do nothing but improve throughout this year. A weird stat, though, out of everybody who played on this Michigan State men's basketball roster on Sunday evening, everybody was a plus when it comes to this plus-minus stat, except Nick Ward. Nick Ward was minus one while on the court on Sunday evening. Now, again, I'm not a huge stat guy, but again, I do believe that stats from time to time can give you a peek into the window of what occurred in a game or what is occurring throughout a year. But basically, when it comes to looking at that stat for Nick Ward, it just shows me that when Nick was on the floor, there was a lot of run and gun offense happening between Florida Gulf Coast and Michigan State. But Nick was great in that game. 25 points, again, 10 rebounds, double-double for him. Also, Cassius Winston. We talk about these three juniors who are going to lead the way for Tom Izzo's team. Cassius Winston, 14 points for him. Also led the team in assists with 8 assists. As a team, and we all know this is a hallmark of a Michigan State men's basketball team, 33 assists on 41 made field goals. Pretty impressive, right? Pretty impressive stuff. But, you know, Tom Izzo had a rant afterwards that I'm going to elaborate on later in the hour, because we have to get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Tom Izzo was not pleased, is not pleased with how the game is being called today. Tom Izzo looks at this and says, basically, the game is catering so much to the offensive player, and how can you legitimately go out there and play some kind of physical defense? And I am with Tom 1,000%. All right, but what I'm going to do, let's hit our first break right now. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Nate Miller, first-year head coach for Lansing Ignite, your newest minor league soccer team here in the greater Lansing area. Pretty exciting times. Nate was introduced as head coach at a press conference at Cooley Law School Stadium this morning around 11 a.m. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, let's get our first guest here on WKAR's Current Sports. You know, this is exciting times. Exciting times for the greater Lansing area because I really believe this is going to be a game changer here when it comes to local sports. You know, it didn't quite hit me just how soccer crazed this area was until Jeremy Sampson was able to put together Lansing United. And, you know, watching how many people would come out to those games on a regular basis. Soccer fandom is pretty strong here in the Lansing area. So much so that the game has been up now. And Jeremy Sampson is now the general manager of Lansing Ignite. And a press conference was held this morning to announce the first-year head coach of Lansing Unite, which will begin its first season in the USL League One in the spring of next year. Pro soccer here in Lansing, pretty exciting times, folks. And Jeremy Sampson has now turned to a pretty familiar face to lead this program in its first year, that being Nate Miller, who has coached the Lansing United men's soccer team the past three seasons. Right now, Miller joins us on line one. Nate, congratulations, my man. You got to be amped right now.
Thanks for having me, Al. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been a really good morning connecting with a lot of people up in Lansing and just a really rewarding month, to be sure, and a lot of work ahead of us, but thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
Without a doubt, Nate. And I want you to just kind of take us through the beginning of this endeavor for, you know, this program, Lansing Ignite, and how you all, you know, ended up putting a stamp here in the area for this team to be down at Cooley Law School Stadium. I mean, and take us back to your time at, you know, with Lansing United. How did this journey end up here for you?
Yeah, well, I think my journey, this past year was a lot of twists and turns and a lot of up in the air. Obviously, you know, it's no longer Lansing United. It's Lansing Ignite and Tom Dixon, who's a great owner who, as you know, owns the Lugnuts and other minor league baseball teams, you know, decided to invest in Lansing and in soccer. And that is it's a really big deal for Central Michigan, and bringing it to a stadium like Cooley Law School Stadium downtown, I think brings a lot of legitimacy and excitement to what we're going to do. And yeah, I think for me, it was definitely something that I wanted. I want to coach in the pro game. I wanted to make that jump, and I've grown to love Lansing the past few years, working up there every summer and just being more and more connected. I just grew to love the area, and so for me, this is a real honor, and I'm really eager to start building and working and get started right away.
Now, as I mentioned, Nate, I mean, you have coached Lansing United for the past three seasons. When did you get word that United would get dissolved and that Lansing Ignite was going to, you know, join the USL League One come next year. And what were your initial thoughts? Were you kind of sitting there saying, okay, does that mean I'm out of a job now?
Well, you know, it wasn't one of those things where it happens overnight. You, as you saw in the new, in the papers and just a lot of news outlets, I knew the long-term plan of Jeremy. I mean, he was one of the reasons for a move to, from the NPSL to the PDL was to eventually go to the USL because the USL is so affiliated with the PDL. And so that was Jeremy's vision, Jeremy's plan. And so how that would happen was the big thing, right? Like what would it be called? Who would the owners be just because of the massive investment that it takes to produce a professional soccer organization? So, you know, it was kind of like a year-long process of watching, keeping tabs on what's going on, and just obviously the season we had in the PDL this past year with Lansing was really successful, and so that helped. And, you know, it was just when I heard almost just like everyone else as the new owners took over and the investment happened, I knew I wanted to be involved and just kind of went through the process, but just controlled what I could. I knew there would be a ton of interest in the job, obviously. And so I was just authentic of who I am and what I want to do and my vision. And so I'm just really happy to be the one to do it.
Yeah. And when it comes to, you know, Jeremy's decision to peg you as the first year head coach for Ignite, I'm curious, what was that process like? Searching for that first-year head coach, how many coaches did they talk to, and what do you think gave you the edge to get this job?
Sure. Well, I think first thing that's important is it wasn't just Jeremy. I mean, Nate Greaser, who's, you know, in the front office of the Lugnuts, as well as Tom Dixon, who was heavily involved in the process, the owner. There was, you know, it wasn't just Jeremy. He's the GM and vice president, but, you know, it's a whole front office of people who are going to help make this big decision for the club, because you only have one chance to start something right and to build a great culture. And so how many coaches and all that process, you'd have to ask Jeremy on that, that was like. I know a little bit, but not enough to speak to it. I was just focused on what I would bring to the table and the type of club I'm going to build and the type of culture I'm going to set for the club. Okay, so that's really my role in it. I don't really know. There was a lot of twists and turns in the process, to be sure, just like any new professional franchise and just like any nationwide search for a head coach at a professional position. There's a lot to consider. So I just stayed true to myself, and I have confidence in myself and my staff and obviously a lot of confidence in Jeremy as we've built up a good rapport over the past 3 years.
So, Nate, where were you when you got the call?
Oh, man, you know, I honestly don't remember. I'm so heavily invested in my season right now at Spring Arbor in the college season. We're still in the national tournament going strong. And so,
right.
Where was I? I think it was actually late at night in the family room with my wife, and we were just talking about, I don't know, I lived the season pretty heavily with my guys. And so we were probably just talking about something, and I got the call, and I was thrilled. But even after that call, there's a lot of hoops to go through and things to consider, as it's a whole different ball game going from an amateur club to a professional club. That adds a lot of layers of complexity, but certainly of excitement, to be sure.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on those quote layers of complexity, Nate? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about the USL League One? What kind of league is that? How competitive is it? And what kind of soccer are we talking about here?
Yeah, so it's the third tier of professional soccer in our country. So you have MLS. Major League Soccer, which everyone's familiar with, obviously. Then you have USL. Then the USL just rebranded. So there's three, I guess, tiers to the USL. So there's USL Championship, which is the top level of USL. There's USL League One, which is us. And then there's USL League Two, which used to be the PDL, so what Lansing United was last year. So that's the four tiers. The top three are full-time professional tiers, and then USL League Two is the development phase. And so I will tell you this, USL League One is going to be a very, very competitive league. I mean, it's a nationwide league. We'll be traveling as far as Dallas, Fort Worth. We'll be traveling, I mean, all of it, Orlando, all over the country. So it's a really, with only some countries, very small countries have 6-7 tiers of professional soccer. So We have one big country with quite a bit of talent, and the third tier of pro soccer in our country is going to be extremely competitive, and I think you'll see a really high level of play, and we'll definitely bring a model of play that's an exciting style of soccer to Cooley Law School Stadium and look to really just ignite a lot of passion in our fans in the city.
Absolutely amazing. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the first-year head coach of Lansing Ignite, Nate Miller, who has coached Lansing United men's soccer the past three seasons. Also, since 2013, Miller has been the head coach at Spring Arbor University. So you're juggling a lot right now, Nate, but you know, now that you've gotten the job for Lansing Ignite, what are the next steps in preparation for you to make sure that you are successful this upcoming first year?
For sure. So the first, you know, the biggest part of my job right now is working hand in hand with Jeremy to sign players, to organize the roster, to bring the right players to Lansing that are going to make us successful. And that's a big job, but such an important one and one that I love to do. So it's the recruitment process of the right players, the right men to bring into our club and to build an elite culture, a working culture that will be the platform for how we want to play. So really that's the main part, but there's a lot of things right now being a first year franchise. I mean, from planning preseason in Florida. Tackle the next thing right in front of me. I try not to, you know, just the most important thing that day, I just do it with as much excellence as possible. And when you do that a lot of days in a row, something special starts to happen. And then as the season comes closer, that's what I really relish. I mean, I'm a coach. I just want to be on the field with the players and working together.
Definitely. Well said, Nate. And apologies just now. I understand. I just got word from my engineer that during just a portion of that answer, Nate, we did have an emergency announcement to make over the airwave. So apologies to our listeners out there. But, Nate, before we get you out of here, I just want to plainly ask you, and I'm sure you've had the conversation with Jeremy about this. I'm sure this was a question maybe asked during your interview process. But what does first-year success look like under your realm?
Yeah, so I think it's a fair question. I think there's so much unknowns just because the league is a brand new league, and so I think teams will be constructed, you know, a lot differently from each other. So for us, there's two forms of success for us. Number one certainly is winning. I mean, I'm not going to be shy to say I want to bring a championship to Lansing. I mean, that's why I'm doing this. I'm passionate about that, and I'll pour every ounce of my soul into this club so that we win. I want to make Lansing a winner, and so. It's not one of those things where I can promise a title the year one, but that's certainly what myself, my staff, and the players are going to be shooting for and holding each other accountable to. So that's number one, is we want to win. This is professional soccer, and we're going to put everything into it to not just win, but do it with a model of play that's exciting, that's, I think, will be pretty unique for the USL, and play a really attacking brand of soccer. And then the second phase of that is, you know, with my philosophy of what I want this club to be, we're going to bring in emerging phase players. So I think younger guys who have big futures ahead of them rather than maybe former pros who are winding down here. That's not the type of culture we're going to have in our club of guys just kind of hanging on. And so my goal is to have guys with big-time futures who are going to have big careers, you know, be after their time at the Lansing Ignite, and then they could point at that time and saying, man, that's where it really all happened for me. So long term, it's really being a place where I think that we can get really good pros off the ground and running and provide them with a platform. And then every year, I mean, we're not going to settle for – I don't want to settle for being a mid-table club. We're going to – I think that we have the potential to do something really special and to win.
Love that. And you know what? Also, I mean, with this now continuing, when it comes to you working with Jeremy Sampson, I mean, what makes the relationship that you guys have so special? Can you just kind of elaborate on that synergy and how important that synergy is between the GM and the head coach?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it just clicked from the start with me and Jeremy. You know, we're both very passionate people. We both just really want to win, for sure. I mean, that really binds us together in the sense that we want to do that. But but we're not willing to cut corners. How we treat people, how, you know, doing things the right way and ethically is really important to both of us. He's just a really good human being. And so we just, you know, we're both Liverpool fans too, so that helps. But,
right.
You know, we both love the game and have a passion for the community of Lansing and to build things. You know, there's a certain type of personality. You just want to build, and you want to build something special that's big, but it's also rich, and that there's a lot of just doing things the right way and treating people the right way. And so Jeremy and I are friends, to be sure, but, you know, working closely with him every day, especially now, it's, you know, you need a certain type of chemistry just to work closely every day to solve problems. I mean, it's not all easy starting a new franchise. There's a lot of hurdles to overcome, and you just need a lot of trust in that relationship between GM and head coach to overcome those obstacles with good, honest communication, and I think we do that really well.
Well, Nate, we can't wait to see what you build in your first year with Lansing Ignite. I think they picked the right man for the job, and we're wishing you all the luck in the world. Looking forward to seeing you guys open up the year in the spring of next season.
Thank you very much. I look forward to moving my family up there, and we're excited about the move. So thanks a lot, Al.
That's great stuff. Nate Miller, first-year head coach for Lansing Ignite. Awesome stuff. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Wednesday edition of Current Sports by elaborating on the whole situation with Le'Veon Bell, who did not report for the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday before the deadline. Also, Draymond Green serving a suspension under the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, a lot of drama there. That and more if you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with Nate Miller, now the first-year head coach of the new pro soccer team here in Lansing, Lansing Ignite. Pretty remarkable, right? I mean, you know, I remember when Jeremy Sampson, the whole story about him just thinking up this idea on a napkin and writing it down, and that transformed into Lansing United, and now Lansing Ignite. Just absolutely amazing, and you just hear the competitiveness of Nate Miller. He's definitely the right man for the job, without a doubt. I mean, this is a guy who went 2013-12 during his tenure at United. He has been the head coach at Spring Arbor University since 2013, six seasons there. Pretty remarkable. Won both the Crossroads League regular season and tournament titles. And also a former player, 4 years at Taylor University. So remarkable stuff. Congratulations to the entire Lansing Ignite organization. Really excited to see what the first season looks like. All right, let's go to our phone lines right now, because we have one caller who has been waiting since forever. And I think I know who this is. Justin from Detroit wants to talk Panthers and Lions. Justin, long time no talk. How you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, Al?
I'm doing well. I know you wanted to weigh in on the Panthers and the Lions. What you got to say, man?
I wanted to say, Al, that I think the Panthers are being undervalued, and that teams need to start to respect Cam Newton and what he brings to the table.
So you're a Panthers fan, obviously, right?
Obviously, we all know that from our time together.
So
you're a Cowboys fan.
Right, I'm diehard Cowboys fan. Let's not talk about that. We'll lose all of our listeners there. When it comes to, you know, this upcoming game between Cam Newton and the Detroit Lions, the Lions have no hope. Let's keep it all the way 100, right? So what do you get out of a game like this if you are a Panthers fan?
Well, Al, I just want to see us get back to fundamentals. You know, last week in Pittsburgh, that wasn't how we play usually. And I just want us to get back to what we always been, keep pounding, running the ball, and playing great defense with a great pass rush. There's no reason why the Panthers shouldn't have at least 6 sacks in this game, considering the way Matt Stafford and the O-line have looked the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, very, very true. All right, well, hey, keep hope alive. I mean, I'm excited to see where and how far the Carolina Panthers can go this season, Justin, all right?
All right, appreciate it, Al.
You got it, man. Yeah, Justin is actually the homie of my cousin in Detroit, and every time I see my cousin and Justin's around, man, he's always got on some kind of Carolina Panthers gear. So to his point about Cam Newton being a bit undervalued and overlooked, do you adhere to that same thinking as well, Jack? Because I think he has been a bit overlooked this season.
Yeah, absolutely. He's had a great year. He's bounced back. And you know what? Coming off his MVP season – when did he win the MVP?
I think three years ago?
Yeah, I think like my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
You know, he was outstanding that year, and they got to the Super Bowl, and he really followed it up with, I think it was 2 years, followed it up with 2 straight years where he just wasn't impressive at all.
Right.
And this looks a lot more like the guy that won the MVP. He's kind of returned to form, I'd say. So, yeah, he's had a great year. He's obviously not going to win the MVP this year, guys like Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes. But, yeah, he's had a great year for sure.
Definitely. And Cam is, what, 3-4 in the playoffs with that Super Bowl 50 loss. Excuse me, to Denver in 2015. So, yeah, I looking at how Cam is playing this season, going against the Detroit Lions team, he's got to be really just foaming at the mouth, chomping at the bit to get and play, you know, to get to play the Lions this Sunday. So yeah. I don't think this one will be close at all. All right, line two, we've got Ray from Indiana on the line. What's up, Ray?
Big Al, what's going on?
What's going on, brother? Happy Wednesday to you.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. It's all getting there.
You're just all in one take, just saying it all, right? Right now,
well,
right?
I go to Cracker Barrel. I'm telling you, I got a radio over there that plays 12 Christmas songs. It turns on beautiful.
Okay.
Wanna check it out. You might want to buy one.
All right, I hear you. Well, happy holidays to you, Ray. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, go Wildcats. Beat the Bullies tonight. And basketball like you did in the national championship basketball game.
Yes, the University of Michigan men's basketball team. You know, I haven't gotten a chance to check them out. I'm going to definitely tune into that game while, of course, watching Michigan State take on, my goodness, Louisiana Monroe tonight at the Breslin Center. I don't know how good the Wolverines are this year, Jack. Have you gotten a chance to see them at all, Ray?
No, who wants to watch those bullies? All I care about is losing by 20 or 30 tonight.
Well, I tell you what, Mo Wagner's no longer there, Jack. You know, and he was a key piece to the success that they had last season. I don't know really much about this team, though.
Yeah, I haven't watched them either. Through 2 games, their shooting numbers are very poor, which isn't that unusual for Michigan. They always do kind of start out slow and get hot as the year progresses. But their defensive numbers have been outstanding.
Have they? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, albeit against...
There. They still got the puppet there, the guy with the strings in his head. Watch for John Beilein tonight being on the sidelines.
Here we go. Here we go. Just the jabs just continue. Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you. All right, Ray. You know, I also want to mention this, too. This is very important stuff because, if you didn't know, today is the very first day of the signing period in the world of college basketball. And I tell you what, Tom Izzo right now is knocking on the door. This 2019 recruiting class could end up being one of the highest-rated classes that Izzo has ever had. So things open up today. We do expect at some point, if he hasn't already, I've been stalking his Twitter page since this morning, Mark Rocket Watts, high school 4-star guard from Detroit. Also Malik Hall, 4-star forward from Chicago. They are both expected to sign their national letters of intent, their NLIs today. Maybe we could check their Twitters right now, Jack, if you could, to see if they have indeed done that. No, Mark Rocket Watts and Malik Hall. Vernon Carey, that's the huge name, right? I mean, for Vernon Carey, rated number 2 player in the country, 247 Sports. Vernon's probably not going to sign and make a decision probably not until next week. Vernon's going to take his time. However, he was here at Michigan State for the Ohio State game this past Saturday. Michigan State is the only school on his list that he has visited not once, but twice. Well, actually, no. I'm looking here. His third visit to Michigan State. Vernon Carey has been to East Lansing three times. So this visit was the last of five official visits that he took this fall to his five finalist schools, which are Michigan State, Duke, Kentucky, Miami, and North Carolina. Also, Isaiah Stewart in the running. Michigan State's in the running to land him as well, behind Carey at number five. He took his official visit to campus last month. We do have an update with a minute left. What is that update right now, Jack?
Yeah, it looks like Rocket Watts. I haven't seen anything on his Twitter about him signing. Malik Hall did sign today, though, he said.
Malik Hall has signed. That's a huge get. Four-star forward from the Shy. And again, we do expect Mark Rocket Watts to sign at some point today as well. Four-star guard from Detroit. So, again, the period ends come next week, I believe, like on the 21st. So, I don't expect Vernon or Isaiah to make a decision until sometime next week, maybe the day like after Thanksgiving, something like that, or prior to Thanksgiving, who knows. But I don't expect them to have any news, at least this week, when it comes to their signing. So, we'll have more on that tomorrow as well. But until then, folks, have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you on Thursday. Be easy, people.